How are things changing and what does it all mean? For that, we're joined by Tom Jensen, who's the director of public policy polling based out of Raleigh. Publicpolicypolling.com, their website. You can find info on Twitter as well at PPP Polls. Tom, thank you so much for being with us today.
Hey, Aaron. Good to be with you.
So amidst the coronavirus news, the Democratic presidential primary now flying under the radar, but there's been some recent developments and kind of continuing with trends that we've been discussing. Joe Biden continues to win primary after primary, looking like he's getting closer and closer to locking up the nomination. Tulsi Gabbard dropping out of the race earlier today. How are all of the changes to schedules making an impact with several states postponing their primaries until later?
Well, it's interesting. We're now in a period where we're really going to have almost no voting for at least the next 6 weeks or so. We were supposed to have the Georgia primary this coming Tuesday, which almost definitely would have been another huge win for Joe Biden. But that's now been postponed. So that's not going to be, I think, until May now. And then the first Saturday in April, Louisiana was supposed to have its primary, which is another one that would have gone very strongly for Joe Biden. That's been pushed back now. And then the one remaining really big day on the Democratic primary schedule, what was known as the Acela primary, where New York and Pennsylvania and Maryland and New Jersey and a bunch of other states were all going to vote on the same day. Already Connecticut and Maryland have pushed their primaries back to June, and it's possible that others are going to follow suit. How this all impacts the presidential race, I think it's hard to say. I think to the extent it can be good news for anyone, it has to be good news for Bernie Sanders, because if he does continue to stay in the race, it gives time for something to happen that would somehow move the race back in his direction. We were talking last week about how Sanders needed to have a huge debate if he was going to get the race turned around, and he didn't, and he didn't get the race turned around. He not just lost the three states that voted on Tuesday, but lost them all by a very substantial margin. So the fact that he doesn't have to go ahead and have this election in Georgia, go ahead and have this election in Louisiana, where he would have gotten even further behind in the delegate count, conceivably at least gives him time to have something get going back in his direction.
Do you have a sense of how, as we talk about the presidential primary, but in a lot of these states, it's a primary with a whole bunch of down ballot races as well. Do you have a sense of how this is throwing those elections up in the air?
I think that it, for the most part, isn't affecting that too much yet, because most of the states that we're going to vote in the coming days, we're just going to have their presidential primary now and then have their primary for other stuff later in the year. Mm-hmm. North Carolina sort of was unusual in that regard, where they decided to just go ahead and do everything in March as opposed to move the presidential primary up to March, but still have the primary for everything else at a point later in the year. So I don't think it'll mess around with that too much. One interesting point I've seen people make is not every state has actually had its filing period for this year closed yet. And I think it's going to be a candidate recruitment difficulty for the parties in states that still have yet to vote, especially for stuff like Congress, where you have to raise a lot of money. Who, knowing the situation that we're in right now in this country, wants to sign up to go out and ask people to give away all their money for a political campaign? So I think that's going to make it a little harder to get people interested in running here down the stretch.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, publicpolicypolling.com, their website. Again, find them on Twitter at PPP Polls. If you head there, you can get a link to a survey that just came out, and this is a survey of North Carolina voters in conjunction with the League of Conservation Voters. So focusing in this particular case specifically on climate change and what North Carolinians think about that issue and how extensive they want the state and especially federal response to be. What was the result of the poll?
Well, I thought the most interesting thing about this poll is that obviously the whole thing with the coronavirus has shown how important it is to plan ahead for things that could happen, because obviously we'd be in a lot better situation dealing with this right now than we are if we had done a better job of planning ahead. So in that context, we asked, do you think that our elected leaders need to act urgently to protect us and our communities from the worst impacts of climate change? 61% said they wanted to see our elected leaders act urgently on climate change. Only 32% disagreed with that sentiment. So I think that shows that maybe what is happening with the coronavirus maybe will create a greater sense of urgency when it comes to climate change, a greater sort of level of understanding that we can't just wait for it to come and then deal with it, that it actually has to be dealt with proactively. We also did some approval ratings in this poll that I thought were important to note. One is that Governor Cooper's approval ratings, 51%, 34% disapprove. The last time that we publicly released a poll on his approval rating, his approval was around 40%. So this is actually a pretty big increase for him, and I think suggests that people believe he's handling the current situation pretty well. Not so much the case for Donald Trump or Tom Tillis. Donald Trump has a 46% approval rating, but 53% disapprove. And Tom Tillis has a 31% approval rating, but 47% disapprove.
Speaking again with Tom Jensen, and you can get more numbers from that survey on Twitter at PPP Polls. You can get a link right to it. I got to wrap up the conversation, but as we do, looking ahead to the general election, and I'm on social media more than I should be, I think, like everyone else in the world at this point, especially this week. And what I'm seeing in terms of people talking politics is, and you and I have talked about this, how there really aren't very many undecided voters left, especially when you've got an election with Donald Trump on the ballot. People either love Trump or hate him. And that's kind of what I'm seeing on social media in terms of reactions. People who already like Donald Trump are totally fine with the way he's handled this situation. People who were opposed to Trump are totally opposed to the way that he's handled this situation. So looking ahead to the general election, is that what you're seeing too in terms of polling numbers? So much has happened in the last week. Is it affecting public opinion in any way?
No, we're finding that the sort of political impact of everything that's going on is moot, which is sort of interesting in two different directions. On the one hand, a lot of the time, if the country faces a true national crisis, voters will sort of rally around their president and start to like them more. I think we've talked over the years about what would need to happen for Trump to become popular. And I've said something bad would have to happen for that to be the case, because we'd have to have a huge national crisis that voters perceive Trump as handling really well. And I think usually the example I would use for that is something along the lines of 9/11. I didn't imagine the situation that we're in now, but this is certainly that big national crisis. But he's not getting any sort of rallying around him because of the way he's handling it. So then on the other flip, people say, well, what would it take for Trump to completely collapse and for us to have a landslide election? That would be having a big national crisis and handling it poorly. And I know a lot of people think that Trump is handling this situation poorly. But when it comes down to it, what we're seeing in the polling is, if you like Trump already, you think he's handling it great. If you don't like Trump already, you think he's handling it bad. So even though this could be a pivot point that either got Trump back onto solid ground with a good response or had him completely fall apart with a bad response, what we're instead seeing is it's just reinforcing everybody's preconceived notions. If you like him, you think he's doing a good job. If you don't like him, you think he's doing a bad job. And because of that, his overall situation is pretty much unchanged, even with the biggest crisis the country's faced in probably 19 years.
PublicPolicyPolling.com for more information from PPP. You can also find them on Twitter at PPP Polls. Tom Jensen, as always, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.